Today I'm going to share with you Being Girl for the Summer Part 1, written by Amanda Walker. The train finally arrived at the station. John had been looking forward to visiting his aunt, mum, and dad were off on a cruise, and he was to spend the summer in the Lake District. The sky had darkened on the spring evening and rain was in the air. Standard lakes then. He left the train and stepped onto the deserted platform of the unmanned station. He'd done this journey before and knew there was a local bus from Stavely to the valley where his aunt's house was. He carried a sport bag with all a teenage lad needs for 6 weeks away, not much, and went down to the bus stop. The bus would be along in 10 minutes. There was no shelter, and as it started to rain gently, he was annoyed, but not too bothered, his light jacket keeping most of the wet at bay. The rain intensified and became torrential. He could not leave the stop as the bus was due. He was now getting very wet, but hey, he'd be at Mary's soon. The bus finally arrived 10 minutes late, by which time he was thoroughly drenched. The driver smiled at his bedraggled state as he threw his wet bag into the luggage rack and himself, the only passenger, onto the bus. The big advantage with these country buses was that they'd stop wherever you wished, so he told the driver to drop him at Skilthwaite Crag and settled down for the 20-minute journey. It was nice and warm on the bus after the cold rain, and he dozed while the bus meandered down the dark lanes. The driver called to him as they stopped outside his aunt's, and he jumped up and off the bus toward the welcoming lights. The house, a small villa, was up a short drive and built of Lakeland slate. It fitted into the landscape so well and held many happy memories for him. The door opened as soon as he reached it. He was welcomed in by his aunt, who gave him a big hug and immediately said, "Oh, my dear, you're soaking wet. Let's get you out of those wet things and beside the fire. I'll make a hot drink." The logs crackled and spit their warm glow. He felt much better, but the rain had soaked him right through and his hair was matted down. "Finish your drink and then we'll get you into a hot bath. Where are your cases?" asked Aunt Mary. "Oh no, they're still on the bus," he cried. "Oh well, don't worry, we'll find you something to wear. Get upstairs and have your bath. I'll put something out for you." He enjoyed the hot soak in the old-fashioned bath on legs with huge taps and fittings, and after about 20 minutes, he dried off and put on the toweling robe his aunt had left out. She heard him leaving the bathroom and called up, "Go into the bedroom opposite, my dear, which will be yours for your stay." He remembered it was his cousin Cynthia's room. He had played with her here when they were younger. Now she was away on a British council scheme in Africa. Aunt Mary had left clothing on the bed, but on the bed were a pair of cotton knickers, a girl's cotton vest, and some knee socks, and beside them a medium-length blue knitted dress, like an extended jumper. His initial shock gave way to amusement. He appeared to have little choice, as his things couldn't be recovered until tomorrow. What he hoped his aunt didn't know was he occasionally borrowed his sister's things, but was sure he had never been discovered. What an opportunity justified dressing up. As he quickly dressed, he realized that the dress did not hang correctly, as there wasn't anything padding out the chest department. Then he had the idea, let's do this properly. Stripping off to only the knickers, he rummaged around in the bedside drawers until he found what he wanted. First the bra, which he filled with some rolled-up socks. Then the dark semi-gloss blue lycra tights and a black full-length slip, which felt gorgeous. Now he replaced the dress and, on zipping the neck, found it following his new curves. His aunt had left out some wool fleece slippers, so he slipped them on, and replacing the towel on his wet hair, went downstairs. "I see you've enhanced the outfit," said Mary, smiling.
"You don't mind, do you?" he replied.
"Not at all. I didn't know whether or not you'd go for it, but you've done a good job. It is just until we get your things back on Monday. Come here and I'll dry your hair." He was tired and sat back on the chair as Mary smiled mischievously as she brushed and curled his hair as she dried it. "There, dear, time for some food, I think." As she removed the casserole from the oven, he devoured the tasty treat. As he sat down after the meal, the food, the long journey and the warmth of the fire caused him to fall fast asleep. He awoke later to the sound of his aunt talking to another older lady. "Oh yes, she's beautiful. We'd be delighted to come for lunch." He tried to appear asleep, but his heart was pounding. He was on display to a neighbor and had been invited for lunch. Later, after the woman had gone, his aunt re-entered the room. "What have you done, Auntie? What have you agreed?" he said. "Oh, it was just Mrs. Bean. She often pops in to chat. She never bothers to knock, just walks in. She had come to invite me for Sunday dinner after church, and as soon as she saw my lovely niece, you were included.
Don't worry, she's half blind and a bit batty, but is kind and cooks a lovely roast. But I can't go like this, he cried. It was just a bit of fun between you and me. Oh, don't be silly, you've nothing else to wear. You look marvelous, and most importantly, I was going to take you out for dinner tomorrow, so I've nothing in. But I'll be a laughingstock. People will point and stare at a boy in girl's clothes. Not if you believe in yourself. Tonight, you look like a girl. If you feel like one, you'll pull it off, no problem. That night, they drank a few beers and relaxed to the extent he forgot, accepted what he was wearing until it was time for bed. The full-length, silky nightie was laid on the bed and felt gorgeous against his soft young skin, and again he fell into a deep sleep. Sunday dawned, and he woke to sound of birdsong and his aunt clattering about in the kitchen downstairs. The silky finery wrapping his young body brought him around. So it wasn't a dream, he thought. A matching robe was laid across the chair, and he went down the stairs to get some breakfast. You look so lovely, she said, and he smiled. This dressing up game felt so nice. After they had eaten, she ushered him upstairs. Come on now, we'd better get you ready. He pretended to protest, but accepted his fate with nervous anticipation. Now we've got to do this right for your sake. I know she's an old lady, but we'll have to pass people in the street, and you will have to pass. She had him shave his face closely, then his legs, they weren't very hairy, and he was blonde, but she was being thorough. Then after a basic manicure, she painted his toe and fingernails a dark pink. Next, the makeup, she was very sparing, just hint of color on his soft cheeks and a matching pink lipstick. Now for some clothes, young lady. She smiled at the girl that she was creating. A pair of light control briefs helped to maintain a smooth silhouette. Then she handed him a lovely lacy Warner's bra and matching suspender belt. They filled the bra with rolled up pantyhose, and then she showed him how to pull on the cream gloss stockings. Electricity ran through his body as he touched the finery around his body. Finally, a full slip and a floral print summer dress with long sleeves were slipped over his head, and a pair of low-heeled cream shoes completed the ensemble. Still, he had not seen himself. The anticipation was making him faint. I'll just do your hair, dear, then you can see. She combed his long hair back and styled it into wavy curls. Then some sprayed some lacquer to hold everything together. Just one more thing. And after rooting in a small box, she clipped on small diamond earrings and hung a necklace with a single stone on a fine gold chain upon him. He saw a figure in the mirror. The figure was beautiful. The figure was a young girl, demure and innocent. The figure was him. I'll just let you get used to this new look. Practice walking in those shoes. It's not as easy as you think, but you'll soon get the hang of it. She then left him alone while she got herself ready. When she returned, he asked, Why get ready so early? Well, my dear, our invitation was for Sunday dinner after church, so we're going to the service first. I wasn't sure before, but you look so good, there is no need to worry. He was worried, but reasoned that few young people go to church these days, so there would only be a few old fogies to worry about. He really didn't have much time to worry as they left for the short walk to the little slate church, soon after going down from the bedroom. The weather was warm and fine, there was no need for coat, but he felt completely exposed when the breeze wafted around his stocking tops. He clung tightly to his aunt and whispered in her ear, Should we really be doing this? What if I'm found out? Relax, dear. I know what you are. I dressed you, and even I can't see the join. Just relax and have fun fooling all these people. They reached the church, and both smiling politely entered and sat down. The congregation was much as he'd expected, old. They looked for Mrs. Bean, but she had not yet arrived. Then a really beautiful young girl dressed in a similar summer dress, him sat down beside his aunt, and a lady he recognized as Mrs. Bean beside her. Hello, Mary. May I introduce my niece, Karen? Karen, this is Mrs. Williams and her niece, Susan. He was stunned into silence, but mumbled a greeting. He had forgotten they'd agreed on the name Susan, and he didn't know how he was going to handle this gorgeous girl who would surely see through his disguise. John has been compromised to dress as a young girl and is now sat in a pew in a Cumbrian slate church next to a real beautiful young girl. He and his aunt are invited to Sunday lunch with the girl and her aunt. Susan, John, spent the service worrying about the decorum of kneeling for prayers, sitting down and standing for hymns while wearing such unaccustomed clothing. Karen had looked at him once, very shyly, as they were introduced, and had not looked his way again. She was either very, very shy or had made him. He suspected the former. The service finished and the congregation began to leave. Karen smiled at Susan as they got up. I'm so pleased there's another girl to share the holiday with. It can be very dull up here on your own. The vicar was meeting and greeting in the churchyard, and as the two girls and as their aunts paused, he came up to speak with them. I presume these delightful young girls are your niece's ladies? Oh yes, vicar, aren't they a picture? Karen was worried that she would be on her own, but we've found Susan has come to stay with her aunt this summer, so they can be companions for each other and not have to put up with us oldies all the time, replied Mrs. Bean. Susan missed the significance of all summer, she was thinking. This is the last time in a dress except on my terms, thank you very much. Well, it's a pleasure to have some young, and I must say pretty faces in the church today. Karen and Susan, may I ask a favor from you? We are having a Victorian fete here on Wednesday, and I would appreciate it very much if you two would agree to help out. We have some maid outfits that would fit. Don't decide now, but do let me know if you are interested. That sounds a lot of fun. Of course we'll do it, won't we, Susan? Replied Karen. Susan was silently horrified Karen had suddenly come to life and was making plans for them both. This charade had gone too far. Karen was beautiful, but he didn't want to be her girlfriend. Well, I don't think I will be able to. I've got to get back home as I've lost my clothes and I think I want to. Now, dears, what's all the fuss? Called Susan's aunt. Susan was saying she must leave already, cried Karen. But I would like her to stay. The vicar has just asked us to help at the fete. I don't want to do it on my own. Please persuade her to stay, Mrs. Williams. Well, we'll have to see. Susan did lose her bag on the way here. I will have to speak with her later to decide what is to be done. We are going to Kendall tomorrow to see if the bus company can find her things. If not, we will have to make new plans, replied Susan's aunt. Oh, but that's lovely. We were going there tomorrow as well. I have an appointment at the hairdresser's on Stramongate. We seem to be about the same size. She can borrow some of my clothes. I've brought loads. Karen's aunt nodded. An awful lot of clothes, there'll be no problem. Over to you then, Susan, said her aunt with a wicked glint in her eye. Susan was trapped for the time being, and she knew it. Okay then, a week in frocks. At one time the boy had fantasized about such a thing. Reality was harder to cope with. I'm sorry if I appeared reluctant. I was worried about my things. It's a very kind offer to share your things, thank you, said Susan. That is decided then. We will go look for your things while you girls have your hair done. Then we can do some shopping and have lunch at the coffee shop, said Mrs. Bean. Now you two go and tell the vicar, and then we'll have some dinner. Catch us up, dears. Susan was trembling. Events appeared to be completely out of control. Go with the flow seemed to be the only way out. Just 1 week, then. I'm out of here. They went over to the vicar and agreed to visit the vicarage on Tuesday to find out what to do and try on the costumes. Oh, Susan, my dear, you're shaking. Are you cold? Asked Karen. Here, take my cardigan. Let's get on the walk. We'll warm you. Our aunts will be waiting. With that, she put her cardigan around Susan's shoulders, put her arm around her waist, and set off to Mrs. Bean's. Susan realized they weren't taking the direct road as Karen chatted animatedly to her new friend. It felt very strange to be the delicate girl arm in arm with this girl who was so happy to be with her. Karen told her she had few friends and had never been out with a boy as she was too shy. She asked Susan about the boys she knew, and she decided to project the same image. It seemed easier that way. What Susan did know was that the boy inside was falling for this girl big time. She was gorgeous in looks and nature. What a problem. Staying near to her by whatever means became the most important thought. The meal was served by the time they arrived home. And after they had helped to clear up, they all took tea on the terrace with its beautiful views down the Winster Valley. Eventually, the meal and the relaxing atmosphere caused the two older ladies to drop off in their chairs, and the girls were freed from polite conversation. I know, let's try you in some of my things for tomorrow. What do you like to wear? What have you got? Asked Susan. Let's go and see, replied Karen. These Sunday frocks are all very well, but I'm more comfortable in a denim skirt and blouse. Where did you get the clothes you're wearing today? Oh, these are my cousin's clothes. I know they don't quite fit, but they're not bad. I haven't worn a dress like this for years, replied Susan truthfully. Now she was worrying about undressing and being discovered. She decided to play very shy. They went up to the room and Karen rummaged about in her wardrobe, producing a knee-length denim skirt for Susan to try on. She also found a white cotton blouse, and Susan went behind a screen in the room to change. She had just slipped the dress over her head when Karen poked her head around and said, "Oh, you're wearing stockings. How lovely. Can I try them? I've never worn them before." Yes, just a minute," she said, holding the dress against herself. "Oh, I am sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you." "No, I'm sorry. It's just that we've only just met and I am a little shy." "That's okay. Tell you what, I'll pass you some blue opaques. They'll look better with the skirt, and you throw me the stockings when you're ready. I've got some blue shoes that will go too." That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story.